Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this is our 200th episode.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so almost.
Like you said, 4 years yes. of this nonsense.
4 years. Yes, yes. And this all started as an attempt to save the previous podcast. Because,
Which didn't work.
Yeah, I guess we're the cuckoo. Up turntable is the cuckoo.
Get out of that nest. Yep.
Yes, we ate the babies and destroyed the nest. And here we are. But thanks to everyone that made this possible. It's come a long way from just an audio only podcast that got shorter and shorter and shorter to save me editing time to this live stream. Yeah. And then the really active chat and great patrons and members that are supporting everything. Yeah, K5 has been a member now for getting close to 2 years.
Wow, reminder, become a patron.
Yes, yes. So thanks. Yeah. Thanks so much for all the support. And Matt, always for
wheeling that blue wrench.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Without that, it would be chaos. And lots of profanity would be flying.
Oh, you mean in the chat, right?
Yes, that's okay. Right. Yeah, Matt's blue wrench. But yeah, I appreciate all the tips and links for different news articles, because there's stuff that I miss during the week. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a lifesaver, because it's when it's a real
you're giving away trade secrets.
Yeah, but it's like when it's a really slow week, it's just like, is there anything happening on tabletop aside from 5e?
And
Matt seems to find it.
Yeah, nice.
All right. So thanks. Yeah, thanks so much. So this week on The Weekly, so the FTC warns creators, and there was interviews with tabletop companies about, you know, how they're handling creators and how much free stuff they're throwing out. So this is all about kind of payola kind of stuff.
Okay.
Critical Role deletes a player.
Okay.
Horror on the Orient Express. And the grand festival ends. And
I see
you're not wearing your
oh,
your
damn, yeah. I'm not wearing my Gloomhaven stuff. Yeah.
the gown that you've been working on this whole time.
That's why I've missed the past couple weeks.
Yes. That's where you've been. Yeah, just sewing away. All right. So let's start with the government talk. So the Federal Trade Commission warns board game creators and publishers about failure to disclose relationships and also, you know, free games. So they're getting very detailed, and they're probably cracking down. This isn't, you know, specifically tabletop, because I think this is, you know, cosmetics and health supplements and everything that creators are kind of pushing on social media. And so reviewers and influencers are starting to pretty openly violate FTC rules prohibiting what they call unfair and deceptive acts to properly disclose things like free games or financial support or, you know, all the sorts of things that a publisher may do to make you say nice things about them.
Right. Okay. So in a nutshell, it's reviewers and influencers are not disclosing the fact that they got something
yes.
from the company.
Right. Gotcha. Right. And even, yeah. And it gets pretty elaborate. They go into a lot more things. So they have the U.S. Federal Trade Commission has just updated its 14-year-old guidance on what they're calling endorsements and testimonials in advertising. Mm-hmm. So this will they're trying to affect social media platforms, especially things like Twitter, Twitch, right. Instagram, and TikTok.
Don't forget Threads and Blue Sky.
Yeah, right.
Pillow Fort. Yeah.
Right. And so this new guidance is requesting that creators should clearly disclose when they receive free products or other perks from a company, even if they aren't specifically asked to mention those products. So if you're just, you know, filming an unboxing, or you're playing on a game and the table was sent to you for free by a company, you're showing it off, you're endorsing, you're saying this is a great table because we're using it.
Well, even if the company doesn't say to mention it.
Right, yeah. They're not, well, mentioned that they sent it to you.
Right.
You
know, yeah, in that example, let's say, okay, like, we've got the Argatoria stuff from Spellcrow.
Yes, right.
Like, they sent it to us for free, right?
Right.
Which is amazing, considering international shipping. Right?
Yes, right.
So if we were playing, we'd have to say, like, okay, these were sent to us, right?
Yeah, right.
If my question is, like, if the table or like let's say a playing mat, let's be more realistic, if a playing mat was sent to us, if we don't talk about the playing mat, but it was sent to us, we're still in violation because we're kind of still showing it off. Right. Even if we don't specifically say, look how fantastic this map is.
And I think, even if we're not talking about, if it's not part of the review or anything, right. And they're literally saying, if there's things in photos you're posting on Instagram that were given to you for free, there needs to be some sort of declaration. Yeah, so the FTC wants everything spelled out. Wow, okay. Let us know, because you are, you know, because this weird influencer thing, there are people that are like, oh, I like these guys. I like their reviews. Oh, they use this. Well, I'll buy that.
Yeah. Right,
okay. And so they're trying to, and it's a real hard thing to kind of, you know, crack down on, but they're just trying. And I think it's going to be more the responsibility of the platforms to give the creators tools to say, because right now you can just say in the description, you know, the description of the video or in the text of the post, what you're saying. So they're saying things like, even posting a picture of a board game on social media, the FTC that says that could convey, even without words, that you like or approve of the product is the thing that they're trying to look out for. So basically, they want things to say, this is an ad for a, you know, brand for whatever company it is. And so there needs, and right now there's not really great ways to do that.
Apart from typing it all out.
Yeah, right, right. And I think they're probably going to ask for things like, and I think YouTube already does this. They have like a sponsorship. This paid promotion. That little paid promotion flag.
Paid promotion by.
So
they're mysteriously seen that not on ours.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah, we need some of that. I would love to put that somewhere. Please,
sorry.
Give us a reason to use that thing. So they want that for all social media. So you're posting, you know, you're trying to post an aesthetically pleasing picture on Instagram, and it's going to have a big watermark that says paid promotion at the top, or, you know, this is an ad for so-and-so. So right now they're saying single disclosure is not sufficient. A single reference on a web page is not sufficient. They want more, and it can't be buried under a, you know, read more link or whatever. So your multiple disclosures are preferable. So things like Snapchat and Instagram stories should feature disclosures superimposed over the image. So that's really going to change the aesthetic of the platform. And this isn't limited to free games. They say it also covers cash payments, other gifts, travel, accommodations, and costs. So that means, you know, basically everybody that was talking about that Creator Summit, Wizards did, that's paid promotional content. Like, they need it, and that's what they were discussing. You know, they did this, and some guys even went through, this is how much everything costs and how much money they threw at us. But other people didn't. They're just, you know, talking about the event itself. So that is paid content.
But wouldn't that mean, like, in that example, wouldn't it mean that kind of any picture or any kind of post would have to say, I was paid to travel here or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like pictures. Yeah. If like somebody paid for your ticket to Gen Con or whatever. Yeah. Every photo of you at Gen Con has to have a big watermark across your face with dollar signs.
I'm wondering what's sparking this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is it kind of, maybe not altruistic, but is it because companies feel that they can't compete with like normal advertising means? And so this is a way to like shut down the influencer thing. Or is this kind of a bit more altruistic, where going, whoa, okay, let's rein in this free advertising kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, I think it's probably just fighting that American aesthetic of, if you're not cheating, you're not winning. So, you know, companies are always looking for these, you know, messed up angles that are great, you know, that are, you know, borderline illegal, and they know that they're violating certain practices.
Let me show you my new Games Workshop tattoo.
Oh yeah, you're right.
No, sorry.
So I think they're just trying to rein that in, but it's a difficult thing. And I think you're right. They're probably, it's an advantage for smaller companies and these creators to create promotion that bigger, you know, like Hasbro has to pay for. You know, Hasbro has to really shell out the bucks to get that same sort of reach to the communities. So yeah, and a few more quotes from a spokesman for the FTC. So the FTC Act and the principles underlying the endorsement guidelines apply to game companies and game influencers. So if followers of a game influencer don't expect them to get the game for free, and if knowing about the free game would affect the credibility of that the followers give to the endorsement, then the free game should be disclosed. This is starting to sound like IRS, like tax.
It is. Well, yeah, what do you expect? Yeah,
yeah, right. Ugh. So we have brought cases against companies whose influencers have not disclosed material connections. And I think, that's, and it may have started, it's probably coming to board games because it has started in other places, like all the, you know, health supplements and cosmetics, right, and stuff are just, you know, it's shady stuff and shady practices, and they're it's kind of like a pump and dump thing where they get it out there on social media, they get really big influencers to promote stuff, and it's garbage, and the influencers don't care because they're paid, and then the company
for free,
and the company makes their money. But yeah, they get it for free, and it's paid endorsement. So yeah, so they added regulators cannot be everywhere all at once, but expect more aggressive enforcement around these issues.
What you said earlier about, okay, social media platforms, like, okay, work brain. The way this is actually going to work is if social media platforms make it easy for people to do that, right? Like YouTube, however it works, has that paid promotion, may include paid promotion thing, right? Like if all the, I think it would be easier to implement if all the social media platforms had something like, okay, here's how you can put this in, right? Here's an easy, intuitive way for influencers to write all the stuff that are in there instead of having to type it all out in the Instagram notes. Because, yeah, the easier people make, the easier it is for people to do something, the more they're going to be inclined to do it.
Right. But the thing they have to be careful of, though, is if the algorithm doesn't like that kind of stuff, you know, if it kind of scores against you for that, then people aren't going to do it. You know, that may be the cause of why people aren't disclosing things and aren't using that promotional tag, because most of the social media stuff is trial and error. So they put stuff out there with all disclosures, like, this stuff isn't doing very well. Let's take that off and actually get people to see our posts.
Right. Or as someone, as someone who blocks every and all paid promotion thing that pops up across my social media feed, gone. Oh, promoted, gone, right?
Right.
I don't care. Get that ad off my stuff, right?
Right.
And I'm not getting, I don't even know what kind of ads I'm getting now because I've blocked so many things, right?
Like, we've got to sell you something.
What is this? I don't even know. I'll come back later with some interesting ones, but whatever, yeah.
So there are a few statements from some different publishers and people involved in board games. So Jamie Stegmaier from Stonemaier Games says they have a list of more than 300 board game reviewers that they just send stuff to. And he said that they noticed creators on Instagram tagging their content pay promotion from the publisher for games that they were sent. But I'd like to see Instagram offer more accurate tags and labels. Yeah, they should standardize the hashtags and things that make it possible to find those things. So you can just adding a paragraph, about this would help. Sarah Shaw of Board Games in a Minute YouTube channel, and also an attorney. There are too many creator attorneys.
Well, come on, man. Like, following the rules of, like, board games, you got to be litigious to follow some of these games.
Right.
Like, only an attorney could figure out how to play this game, right?
Yeah, or afford that many board games, right?
Or that, too, yeah.
So she says, I know I've failed to disclose on Instagram and Facebook posts that I've received a review copy of games when posting about it. I'm going to start doing it more, being more diligent. And then already I've been disclosing in video content. And I think it's much easier in video content because you're, creating it and you have more control over it. So, hoping more content creators are mindful of these laws and follow them more carefully. Yeah, because we'll probably start seeing, fines and stuff, and people will start, their channel will start being hurt because, they're going to get they'll get sued by the government.
I'm starting to be very glad I've never been sent anything for free.
Yes, right.
No, I paid for all this stuff with my own money.
right. Yeah, but I think it does, like, that investment, and even if it's an inexpensive thing, that investment does make you say, God, why couldn't they put this in a better box? Or why isn't this, why is the quality of this? So, you do scrutinize it a bit more when you feel when you feel burnt by a company's, like, kind of failure to do something. When you're like, okay, I paid $10 for this and this is what they give me.
Yeah. Or if it's free, you're kind of less inclined.
Right. Yeah. You're just like, oh, this is great for free. This is amazing.
Look at this packing job. Who cares? I got it for free. Right.
Right.
Speaking of which, I don't think I brought it up. The way my 6mm things were packed, right? Atrocious. Right.
And we mentioned that company, remember, because that's the company, the British company that partnered with My Mini Factory,
right?
So yeah, they were really, their quality, QA stuff needs to be pretty strict because they're proving themselves to people. So that's
so,
not a great.
Throwing 300 plus 6mm miniatures into a clamshell, just loose, and then in a bubble mailer doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
I was pretty ticked off. So updated saga, like, I contacted them, sent with pictures. Their site was a nightmare to navigate in terms of quality. But the response I got back was, yes, you're correct. That's inacceptable. We'll send you a replacement order. Mm. So they, like, Only Games may have redeemed themselves with this replacement order they're sending me.
Right.
It hasn't arrived. If it arrives in the same condition, I'll be like,
yeah, no.
Right.
And then so it took two orders to get one order of unbroken, completely well-printed.
I would have a lot. I'll have a lot of extras, mm-mm. but like some of the other smaller companies I've dealt with who have sent 3D stuff include like the miscasts, or they can see they're like, oh, that one, like here's the extras to cover the stuff. And I was kind of disappointed that Only Games didn't do that for all of the parts of the order. Like some of them, like all the archers, I ordered like 72. I'm like, oh, I got like 84.
Mm.
Right. But some of the other ones I'm like, I got ordered 36 knights and I got 36 and three of them have no lances and two of the horses are tripods. So
Interesting. So yeah, that's I hope they can do better, because they are really important for people that don't want to get into the hobby of 3D printing. That's a really important.
Don't get 6mm stuff.
And you don't want to. Yeah. I mean, your alternative is Etsy, is like, you know, individuals doing that printing, because their reputation, they have to live off of that reputation.
So, but we'll see how Only Games, how that replacement order shows up.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, we'll let you know what that looks like. And and maybe it's a good time to look back at that company and see how they're doing, because that was important. I mean, they were really saying, we're bringing the virtual world, the digital world, physical with this 3D printing.
Just slightly damaged.
So speaking of losing your reputation, Critical Role quietly
had a reputation to lose. Sorry.
No, they didn't. Well, I guess they think they do. They removed hundreds of videos from their YouTube channel featuring Brian Foster.
Okay.
So so Brian Foster was a former host of Talk Machina, their talk show based on their actual play. It's getting out of control.
But it's been out of control. Yeah,
end of this, no, it's getting out of control. Like Beatles, Led Zeppelin level of out of control. Okay. And we'll talk about that at the end. But so Brian Foster was a member of the original group and has worked hosting various things. Hundreds of the videos and featuring him are no longer included. And I'm a little suspicious of the reason.
Okay.
So nearly all the videos have been privated on the account. And this is based on leaked court documents. Leaked court documents revealed a pattern of verbal abuse and threats against a main cast member, Ashley Johnson.
Oh, okay. So I think I heard like the beginning of this, and then I realized, it's Critical Role. Okay, I'm listening. Yes. I don't particularly care, but okay.
During the pair's engagement.
Okay.
So this is if this was a divorce, it would make a lot of sense that there'd be some bad words, going back and forth. But it is a relationship, and obviously a relationship that fell apart. But and maybe she did restraining order, and maybe, she felt threatened. There were terroristic threats and death threats. Who knows what happened? But this, it's pretty extreme. If he's not convicted of anything, it's court documents. So she's, suing him? Is this a civil suit against harassment or something? And they're erring on the side of caution and just saying, okay, let's get this guy out of here, because we don't even want to know what the results of this case are going to be. And maybe they just like threw their support 100% behind Ashley Johnson and said, she's here to stay. This guy can go. But so that's a difficulty also dealing with, couples and marriages and, romance and things.
That's why I would never want to date someone at my workplace.
Right.
It's just like.
And I heard recently, too, that that's why they don't let married couples work as astronauts together, because if anything goes wrong, it's like, me and her are going to survive. You guys, we don't really care about.
Makes sense.
They don't want people choosing sides like that. It's not just people trying to have zero gravity sex. It's actually they worry about the morale.
wild tangent here, but we've all seen that meme where it's like, NASA considers sending only female crew to avoid zero G sex. And you're like, You haven't thought this through very well, have you? Right? But I see the married couple thing, right? Like, it's just a relationship in a workplace.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, like, all kinds of problems and messiness and stuff that can happen. I understand them going, you're in space. Stuff is dangerous, so no. Right? Mm-hmm. Just avoid that, right? But I guess back to the thing on hand.
Yes.
No idea what the details are.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Don't particularly care.
Not going to read leaked court documents.
Nope. But like you said, I guess this is just Critical Role saying, like, they're a private company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
They can do whatever they want. They're just like, you know what?
And they're a profitable company. Yep. So
we're not going to deal with this. Like, we maybe they feel this Brian Foster guy, they're just like, nope, we don't want anything more to do with him. Gone. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're just like, you know what? We're expecting a lot of backlash, so let's just preempt that by removing these. Mm-hmm. Or them just saying, we don't want to deal with it, so we're removing these. Yep.
Right. Yeah. So
whatever it is, they can do whatever they want.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so Foster hosted a series called Behind the Sheets as well, and did DMing on Undeadwood. So it sounded like they had a lot more creativity and like variation in the early days, and also ran one shots like Honey Heist when they were Geek and Sundry. Yeah. So those are still up on the Geek and Sundry YouTube channel.
I suppose because they don't own the Geek and Sundry thing, right?
Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. They could probably request that they take them down. So yeah, that's exactly what you said is exactly what I was thinking too, is now the company has to worry about their reputation, and they would rather destroy an individual than their brand name. No, they're protecting a brand name. They would.
Sure. Absolutely.
Everybody's, except for maybe Mercer, everyone's neck is on the chopping block if it involves a loss in revenue for, Critical Role.
Right. Sure. Like I was going to say, the point I was taking issue with was destroying this guy's reputation, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I would say destroying his reputation is going out there and saying blah, 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 right? We're just, now these are private now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And I really don't like this era. I think we've gone from, revenge porn used to be a problem, mm-hmm. and now it's revenge texts and revenge court documents and stuff. People are leaking stuff that is private and should not be shared. I mean, gossip, journalists and gossip magazines and stuff love that kind of stuff. But now it's just private people with vendettas and people in, bad breakups and stuff, that are involving. So I think that should be punishable just as much as leaking, old nudes of your ex-girlfriend, of leaking chats that have intimate details that are going to paint someone in a bad light, because it's not your job to do that. I mean, if it is involved in a court case, it's evidence, in a court case, that's one thing. If it's exhibit A, that's fine. But you doing it to just wage a social media war against someone and totally defame someone is... They haven't figured that out yet.
Okay. Yeah. I see your point, and I'm not going to dig into this because, but the details, like hypothetically, let's take it out, right? Like I'm assuming we don't know who leaked these documents, mm-hmm. right? If this was I could see what would happen. Like, okay, let's say these two people involved in a wildly successful actual play have a falling out, right? Person A, if this person feels like unsafe, whatever, I no longer want to work with this person, mm-hmm. or the partner, I could see them approaching the organization with evidence that says,
right.
And here is why I no longer feel safe working with this person, mm-hmm. whatever. It doesn't sound like that's what happened here, because the word leaked
was
used. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where the leak came from or who did it, right? Whatever. But I see your point about... Was this potentially, this could have been leaked maliciously to mm-hmm. destroy this person's career. So that part I agree with you on. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's difficult. And, each company has to deal with this stuff. And it's good that it is like court documents that are proving something, and it's not just people's, it's like one person's word against another. But so Critical Role, as they're, more money, more problems, mm-hmm. as they become more successful, things get more difficult. And another thing that they're kind of dealing with right now is the SAG-AFTRA strike.
Yep, yep.
So many of the voice actors that are appearing on Critical Role are card-carrying SAG members mm-hmm. as voice actors. So they have to decide. And so I think it's, because they haven't really defined what actual play is, what streaming on the internet is, how well that works. Is it like the equivalent of a movie actor doing Broadway, or mm-hmm. It's just like, so it wouldn't be included in the strike. Who knows? But they're trying to figure that out. And so far, Critical Role has released a statement saying, we fully support the strike and stand in solidarity with our fellow actors. Currently, our release schedule is not impacted by the strike, but we'll continue to evaluate and take necessary steps should it be impacted in the future. And also, Dimension 20, another mm-hmm. big actual player, also said kind of the same thing. I'm nothing but sympathetic to the union and outraged by the mafia-like behavior of major streamers. Ooh. And the AMPTP, I don't know what that is, but it's harder than ever to make a living in the industry, and that goes even for a few lucky of us who have been able to get work and meaningful projects. Because we aren't associated with the AMPTP, it's possible we may be able to reach an interim agreement with SAG and allow us to continue to produce content during the strike, but we'll only do that obviously, if we get the blessing of the union.
Right.
And yeah, so some people have, there are vouchers, like a lot of indie producers and things, if they have SAG, people have gotten like vouchers or passes basically to continue production during the strike. So some people have been allowed to do that. So yeah, basically the entertainment industry hasn't figured it out yet, but that's going to be another thing that someday Critical Role may have to deal with if they've got a bunch of SAG actors and there's...
Sooner than later.
Yeah,
because, like, right. Okay, basically that Critical Role statement said, we've recorded enough content to last us a while.
Right, yes.
Right?
We're cool for now.
We're cool for now. But hopefully, right, if the strike isn't resolved, when they run out of content, that's when they're going to have to decide what they're going to do.
Mm, right. Yeah. So we'll see about that, though. And the other insane thing that for some reason didn't update in my notes is Critical Role this October is playing Wembley. So, you know, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Critical Role, that's kind of like the same scale. So this is like a 12,000 seat capacity. I think this is the indoor arena. So this is their first, they're doing a Mighty Nine reunion thing in their first international kind of public event. I couldn't find it. Maybe in a month or so, the ticket prices will be out. I didn't like go through any process to see pre-orders. So no ticket prices were posted, but I'm dying to find out how much it costs to watch an actual play at Wembley. But yeah, so Critical Role is big. So if the Beatles were bigger than Jesus, then Critical Role is bigger than the Beatles.
All right,
we're in trouble. I don't know what that means. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, a 12,500 seat facility. The Mighty Nine reunion, Echoes of Solstice, on October 25th in the UK. Damn. Oh, don't worry, we'll get there someday.
Yes, I'm crying because I can't go. Yes.
We'll be playing Monster Hearts at Wembley someday. I promise.
That'd be pretty cool. Like, no, I don't want to go to Wembley. I want to go to, like, okay, I'm never going to play D&D again, probably, but like people do that, like D&D in the castle. I'm like, that would be pretty cool. Going to do something like that. Cool. Right? I don't.
Or like steam tunnels underneath the university.
Okay, this is not fucking the Tom Hanks like Mazes and Monsters thing, right? I don't want to like get lost down there, whatever, right? I don't want to have a bad ABC TV movie made afterwards, all right? Anyway, no, I just sure.
Yeah.
People like Critical Role.
I guess so.
I
12,500 of them.
I guess so. I don't understand the appeal of watching an actual play live
from very far away.
Yeah, from very far away. Yeah.
From a balcony.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's crazy. All right, but something old has been made new again. Mm-hmm. So Horror on the Orient Express is a very famous adventure for Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, yeah.
So legendary campaign, very long campaign too. So Chaosium has a. I guess they're publishing this as well. They're working with another company, but. Producing a Horror on the Orient Express board game. So they're trying to recreate the kind of tabletop RPG experience in board game form. So originally produced in 1991, of course, based on the titular train of the 1920s, it's going to be a full co-op board game designed by the creators of Nemesis and Frostpunk. So they've done good adaptations of video games and their original games. So this might be interesting. And they're working close with Chaosium, it seems like. So this could be a very accurate representation without all that nasty role play.
Who wants to role play?
Oh, my God. So it's an epic length, over 100 hours, almost 20 scenarios. It was re-released in 2014. So it's been updated since, and it's very much known for its lethality. So they're even saying with the board game, you can expect 3/4 of the characters to perish. So it's a slog. It's a hard one. But I think that's kind of a Lovecraft thing. Most board games, you don't fare well. You tip into madness or
death.
You don't,
but that's my thing. But like, okay, it's this epic 100-hour-long campaign, and people die all the time. Well, then how do the new people come on, right?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
Yes. But so they're going to be offering, what they're saying is a RPG-like experience. You can customize as a character progression, improve skills, add new items and spells. You just don't have to do funny voices. So each session is between 90 minutes to 2 hours to play each of the scenarios. So it's the basic idea. And if you haven't played it before, you're kind of, interacting with the passengers on the train. You're stopping cultists from performing a dark ritual. And you're killing. Yeah, you're on a horrible train that's going badly. And of course, there's going to be custom dice. And it sounds interesting. The dice themselves, though, they're saying you're not rolling so many of the dice. You're basically using them for their interrogation mechanism. So the dice themselves represent the states of the passengers.
Okay.
So you're like using the sides of the dice to represent like what states certain people are in and making them, you know, maybe vulnerable to certain things.
Okay.
So yeah, the passenger state of mind are tracked by dice as well. So yeah, gathering clues and stopping cultists. So it's said to be challenging.
On a train.
Challenging and on a train. So, of course, there's going to be a Kickstarter for this because who knows how many people want it. The first half of next year. And then it's going to be expected release will be 2025.
Okay.
Ooh. So it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
The prototype is going to be demoed at this year's Gen Con if you want to see kind of where things are at right now before they work all the bugs out. And it's a sad... Finally, it's a sad, sad day. The grand festival, all that's left, the streamers are laying in the muddy like street.
This person sweeping up all the confetti from the street.
Yeah, there's a guy with a push broom cursing all of these fantasy characters that messed up his day. So they ended up finishing with about $5 million of their $2 million goal. So they made their $2 million goal, which is a huge goal.
Yep.
And of course, remember, this is on backer kit, so they keep a lot more of that. So they didn't come near the $9.5 million of the Avatar Legends board game. And the thing, I'm surprised, though, because they were offering a huge amount of stuff. You know, the buy-in for everything was like $500. So, they offered, you know, miniatures for everything in the game, an updated version of Gloomhaven, an RPG for Gloomhaven, a miniature version of Gloomhaven, and a bunch of supporting things. Like for Frosthaven, they have, instead of, like, laying out all your tiles, they have, like, a book, a spiral-bound book that basically every page is one of the scenarios.
Okay, cool.
And so just to make the setup faster, and maybe if you're playing solo, too, that's very easy. You're just turning pages, which is something that Jaws of the Lion, I guess, originally did, one of their like smaller board games. And so people like that very much. So they implemented that in Frosthaven as well. So, yeah, so it came to an end. And the thing I have to respect them for, I thought this was way too much, way too much in one campaign. And yeah, it kind of overwhelmed people. And so then there were questions in the community posts about, what exactly is going on? Because the pledge manager is the different stages of this. Of course, miniatures, tooling miniatures and casting them is going to take longer than printing books and things.
Right.
So there's certain a release schedule for the pledge manager for each thing, so that you're going to hit these certain goals, and so this will be ready then, this will be ready then, this will be ready then. But the thing I have to respect them for is there was no FOMO in this. They didn't have the exotic wood carved, available only here, no exclusive things. All of the stuff available in this campaign is going to retail. That may have hurt their total,
maybe,
but I think as the integrity of as a company, I think you have to respect them a lot more for not doing that, not going, you know,
not the Kickstarter, cheesing, the crowdfunding,
and just trying to milk people for everything.
Right.
And I think it's probably a smart business move because you end up hurting yourself with all that additional production and shipping you have to do just to get that additional money. It's going probably out as fast as it's coming in. So they probably did the math and said, we're getting, you know, 8% more or 7% more of this money from BackerKit compared to Kickstarter. Let's not mess with people. Let's just have an honest business transaction as much as you can have.
Those exclusive, I've never run a Kickstarter. I don't think I ever really want to, or a crowdfunding campaign. Like, yeah, those exclusives, what you just said, made me think like, okay, yeah, producing it and doing all that stuff, what chunk of your money does that take up? So yeah, either just don't do it, or it's got to be at the level where, okay, the level of production where you're just like, okay, we're still keeping enough of it.
Yes, yeah. And it has to raise the kind of urgency of customer support and stuff, because supporting people that have pledged on things that this is only going to be made once, it's not available again, it wasn't in my order, it wasn't in my box, things that are, you're producing, they're going to be warehouse, they're going to distributors, they're available at retail, it's not so difficult to say, yeah, you didn't get this, okay, here's another one. You know, it's a much easier process. So yes, so that was quite an undertaking, and I was expecting that to be multiple campaigns, and it just kind of like, here's everything. Yeah, bam,
here's your mega campaign.
Yeah, so I'm very curious about the Buttons and Bugs, that miniaturized version based on. So yeah, did you know the origin of that? It was based on, there was a game designer that does adaptions of board games that you can hold in one hand of cards. So he did, not aware of that. Yeah, he did a print and play a game that won some awards called Gloomholden.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
You're basically playing Gloomhaven, and you're like holding your thumb in places to mark status of stuff, and you're turning cards. It's like remarkably clever and very economic design, like very, you know, simplified and amazing, but recreated it. And so they worked with that game designer and also a game designer that worked on Mountains of Madness and things to do, or some Lovecraftian thing, but to do a version for them. And the gimmick was that your character in Gloomhaven is miniaturized. So, yeah, okay. So it's a small game and you're fighting bugs and buttons. That's why it's called Buttons and Bugs. So I think they're trying to make it kind of a it's a pretty accurate miniature version of the game, and it's made cute. So maybe they're trying to, you know, something you can play with kids, something that's not as like, you know, kind of, you know, huge and sprawling.
Right.
Because it has a friendlier tone, whereas the original Gloomholden was just the same setting.
I got feelings on that. If that's what it is, right?
Miniature, but you're tiny.
Oh, they're so cute and little, and look at the baddies.
There are
so
miniatures,
cute,
though,
and we're still ripping their guts out with our little needle swords and blocking stuff with buttons.
But you can control their minds and make them kill themselves. But there are like literally little miniatures in the Yeah. So they did some interesting stuff. There's nice surprises in the campaign, and it was a huge streaming like barrage. They had almost every day there was content being released, live streams, discussions, actual plays. So they really, this was pretty impressive. And I wish they would have gotten a huger financial result for all of that, you know, work that they did, because it really set, like, this is a bar that I don't think any other publishers are going to be able to meet.
Right. Well, hopefully they calculated it correctly. And hopefully the 2 million? No, the 5 million they got is.
Yes. Yeah.
Enough
and it's not right, and then following this, all this stuff is going to retail, so then, you know, all that's that, it's not like they produce stuff and that this is the only time it's ever going to be sold, so that's a, you know, it, they were just producing this to go to retail, so we'll see what all this looks like when it arrives, but Grand Festival has ended, so I'm curious if this is going to change certain, you know, other publishers' approaches, because there are big companies like, you know, like Stonemaier Games and stuff that have huge catalogs and may want to support stuff, you know, support their larger, more popular games with something crazy like this. But this was quite a grand festival. I can't believe they actually pulled it off. And we'll see if people get their stuff. But so the Pledge Manager is has some dates on it. So it's Backer Kit, so September 2023, January 2024. June 24 and November 24 are kind of the dates that they're going to hit for things. So you're going to have to wait for some stuff, but yeah, of course, all of this isn't produced in the same way.
Right.
But so we'll see how that. But for international customers, I think crowdfunding campaigns like this are probably a better situation, because even though you're not getting a you know, retail on like online retailer deal, the shipping and everything is you know, much better. So it's probably the best way to get the second edition of Gloomhaven if you live in an out-of-the-way place that doesn't.
As we do.
Yes, as we do. All right. So that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah, cool.
So where can people find you?
On Twitter, until that site shuts up and dies. I'm also on Instagram and reluctantly on Threads and Blue Sky.
and Pillowfort and Mastodon.
I'm not on Mastodon. I refuse to fucking toot, right? Like, skeeting on Blue Sky is, that's it, right? No toots. That's just ridiculous, right? Anyway, yeah. So it's all Hivemind, HYVEMYND, where basically the only thing I'm posting now is pictures of 6 millimeter, very tiny miniatures.
Yeah, very close. Very, yeah.
Yeah. That's there. Hard to take it. Yeah, harder to take a picture of than regular thing, because I'm
you need one of those those macro lenses you can like stick to the
but
side.
Then the macro lens just shows all the mistakes on the miniatures, right?
Right,
like these are tiny, you're supposed to be looking at them and they look awesome back here.
That's true. There definitely is an art to that, because you don't want to say his sword, it just kind of like painted into the side
exactly.
of it.
That's nice. Hivemind. So how about you?
So Abuse Cartoons, so I'm still doing if I don't have heat stroke, I still do the single panel gag cartoon drawing. So I draw two cartoons a week, eat some convenience store snacks, and talk Japanese culture shock. And so that's Abuse Cartoons on both YouTube and Twitch, and abusecartoons.com. If you want to read the cartoon, gocomics.com/domesticabuse.
For a 20-year archive.
And this is 20 years. Yeah, it's a 20-year archive. So thousands of single-panel gag cartoons. So they go through various phases. I think I found, I'm going through the archives in the stream, and I think I found a phase where my tablet broke and I'm drawing with a mouse because I'm drawing just boxes. So I'm like shift-clicking and like everything is really straight. So I think I had a phase where I had to produce cartoons and didn't have a working tablet to do it. That's the risk, though, of going digital. You know, my Sharpies never disappointed me, but sometimes my tablet's like, cannot find driver. Yeah,
not going to do it. Why not? I don't want to.
Yes. And if you'd like to support what we're doing on the weekly for the 201st episode, you can begin. Oh, yeah. A few audio. So happy 200. Oh, that's got to be terrible on the ears. Sorry if you're wearing headphones. That's got to be the worst. Oof. All right. So happy 200.
All right. A bunch of those. And they're not so great smelling.
No, they're pretty funky, but they're, yeah. Okay, yeah. Anyhow. Well, at least I don't have to clean up confetti and streamers. Yeah, save myself, just the smell.
You would be the sad person to push me.
Yeah. Right? It's like the end of the grand festival. So if you'd like to support what we're doing on the weekly, consider becoming a weakling.
Yes, the strongest of all supporters. So, but you'll always be a beta weakling.
Yes, right. Yes, you'll always be a beta because Siglo is your master. Siglo is your alpha. So thank you so much for supporting us, everybody on Patreon, and that's patreon.com/upturntable. You can also become a member on YouTube, like K5, who is approaching 2 years of being a member. Just that join button under this live stream. And if you're listening to this, as an audio podcast,
we apologize for the cracker noises.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry for your eardrums. I'll normalize that down so it's not going to kill you. And you can listen to the entire audio of the live stream on the Patreon RSS feed.
Yeah.
So that's upturntable.com. And so on all social media as well.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us, and we'll be back again next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.